ReopenAmericaResourceCenter.com. Are you struggling personally or professionally because of the coronavirus shutdown? Ready to grow your business and serve more customers and clients? Finally, there's a trustworthy website with resources, relief options, grants, support, and much more for small businesses, nonprofits, and individuals. One location with all the information. It's time to get back to work, life, and reopen America. Visit ReopenAmericaResourceCenter.com today. The ultimate resource platform to help you in every way.
This is Everything Home, the transformational show about life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness delivered by good people doing good business and good things. Let's take the word freedom. Wouldn't it be great to have more professional freedom, personal freedom, and how about financial freedom? Every week, Michelle Swinnick, the queen of quality content, interviews experts, entrepreneurs, professionals, and purpose-driven people to share their stories, their passions, and provide real-life, tangible takeaways. Get ready to be entertained, yet learn some incredible information. This is Everything Home, and this is Michelle Swinnick.
Today's topic, did that dude just steal your idea? Did you get interrupted again? Practical strategies for overcoming workplace issues. First my joke, then on with the show. Why is Christmas just like a day at the office? You do all the work and the fat guy with the suit gets all the credit. Rhonda, you're supposed to laugh. Like, the job of
that
the guest is to laugh at my joke.
Funny. I was trying. It was a very demure, polite laugh. I'm sorry. You must have not heard me.
Yeah. I mean, A, you're the guest. You're supposed to laugh. B, you're supposed to be my friend, so you should even be laughing harder. But that's okay. Now there's a chuckle. Yeah. Yeah, because I put a lot of work into trying to find these jokes that are actually corresponding to and relating to the topic.
I thought you crafted the joke.
No, I steal them. I you know, there's only so many hours in a day.
Now the truth comes out.
Yeah, they're stolen. they're stolen. There's no copyright. There's no permission asked.
Curated sounds a heck of a lot better.
Sure does. Sure does. I do like the way that you are massaging the words because that's what you do best.
That's
marketing, that PR, that massaging of words is your expertise. And I appreciate
that,
it very
that makes
much.
Me laugh.
There you go.
That
so
makes
I get
me laugh.
So it's almost like a dual joke. So there. Hey. Oh, so let me at least introduce my friend Rhonda Murray. She is a marketing for diversity and personal branding expert and the owner of Elevate for Her, which is a professional development and enrichment program training organization designed for women. A little bit of a mouthful, and it's something that is a very hot genre to be in. There's so many aspects of your business that are so relevant to what's going on in addition to all of the workplace issues that we're going to talk about. Give me something exciting that's happened recently, and then we'll kind of just go into the show.
Something exciting. Well, there's always lots of exciting things going on in my world, Michelle. You should know that. But yeah,
well, just pick one.
Business is great. We're I think one of the things that we were talking about earlier is just having the will to continue to forge ahead. So after months and months of working and struggling and some rejection, I think with at least our business, we're starting to get some fruits of our labor. So that's always exciting, whether it's getting a new contract or making connections with other organizations or individuals that we think might be able to help build our businesses.
It's a good point to bring out that it's all about perseverance. And that is one of the traits that you are amazing at in regards to never taking no for an answer, but also then to be blunt, not becoming a pain in the ass for somebody that you're trying to do business with. And,
right.
You know, there's a balance there and you're very, very good at that. And it's important to be able to figure out what that line is. But then also, like you said, regardless of how long it takes, you've got to keep going at it. I mean, if this is what you believe in, this is what you want to do, regardless of the industry, or if you're self-employed, or if you're working for a company, or you're just doing things from a personal development standpoint for just yourself, has nothing to do with work, you've got to just keep going. And, you know, they always say, and I don't know the, there's a couple different phrases or quotes where just before, and it's probably one of them is probably from the Bible, and I probably should know it. Maybe I'll do a little, I'll look it up or after we get off the phone or once we finish the show. Not necessarily darkest before the dawn, but usually when you just are ready to give up, that one next thing is right around the corner. So sometimes once you realize, oh my God, I just can't do it anymore. It's bigger than God opening a window when he shuts a door and all that. It's just, it's right around the corner. So hopefully that maybe gives a little bit of encouragement to any of the listeners today that are just have had it and they just say, you know, I am done, but just keep going. Just that little bit of extra and boom, magical contract gets accepted. The person comes around, you know?
Right. Well, especially when you know in your gut, you can make whatever it is that you're working on work. So again, it can be incredibly tough and downright depressing sometimes, but if you can find that fortitude just to keep moving forward and keep working towards your goal, it does pay off. So, and I'm not sure what Bible verse you're referring to either. So after many years at a Catholic school too. So
Yes, we have fallen at the finish line, but I will look something up and I will come up with something for the next show, and that will be part of my homework to take care of that. So let's get into it today. The practical strategies for overcoming workplace issues. And my favorite, hey, did that dude just steal your idea? When you sent me that, I just pictured your face, which is, you do have some great facial expressions. I just pictured you looking at like, really? Yeah, you do. You're very entertaining. And I just pictured you in my head going like, dude, did you just steal my idea? Like, dude. So when I read that, I have that vision. So why don't you give the listeners just a little bit of information about yourself, the company, some of these programs that you're working on for Elevate for Her, and then let's get into these workplace issues because they're all very, very common, and I'm sure it's happening a lot more.
Yeah, I'd love to. So just to do a really quick overview as to my background, my first job out of college was at a really large mega ad agency in Los Angeles. So at the time, it was just a great job, lots of money being spent on print ads and outdoor boards and TV spots. And it was just a great entree to what the world of advertising was all about and how agencies worked. And very quickly after I started there, I realized, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. I felt like it took several of my strengths and I could utilize them. So I like to consider myself a creative person and also highly strategic in how I think. And so it allowed me to use those skills and just have a great time. I mean, that I felt really fortunate that I was able to find a job that I was passionate about, because so many people are just, they dread Monday mornings, right? And I've been lucky, well, not lucky, because I'll be honest, if I've ever gotten to a point where I'm starting to dread a Monday morning, I know that's my call, that I need to make a change, right? Because I'm a firm believer that we control our happiness. I mean, obviously there's things that come into life that are out of your control that can be devastating. But for the most part, our day-to-day lives, we can control them. We can decide, okay, am I going to have a good day, or I'm going to let this asshole in the cubicle next to me, you know, really ruin my day. And that might be where the dude who stole your idea, where he comes in. So what do you do? And I think that, you know, whether it's someone that steals your idea or whether it's a situation where you feel like you're constantly being interrupted when you're trying to share your ideas or thoughts or just contribute to your workplace, and you have an individual that prevent you from doing that, how do you handle that? There are some practical skills that you can put into place. And a lot of them, again, just begins with how we approach the situation. So within our programs, we have a host of different type of professional development training programs. And they really, where we started was to identify areas that women quite often are a tad bit weaker in their skill set when compared to our male counterparts. So research shows us that women, and this is obviously just based on statistics, women are not as effective in negotiations as men. And one of the stats that I always quote, and you can find it in Forbes magazine, is that women initiate negotiations 4 times less frequently than men. So you take that and you, for one, you say, okay, well, it makes sense that we're making 80 cents on the dollar because we're not asking for what we want. But then the question becomes, if you dig a little deeper, why is that? Why are we not comfortable stepping up to the plate and saying, hey, this is what I want? And a lot of it goes back to just those gender roles, you know, how we were raised. There's study after study after study that shows there are fundamental differences on how little boys play on a playground versus how little girls play on a playground, and how they interact with each other, and just how they see the world and how they see their place in the world. And quite often we're groomed to be, okay, we're going to be nice, we're going to be obedient, we're going to listen. And then on the boys' side, it's everything in reverse, right? They're loud, they're rambunctious, they want to be, you know, the king of the mountain. And so a lot of those traits, we just find that it carries over into our adult life. An interesting study from George Washington University says that men are 33% more likely to interrupt women than they are to interrupt other men.
So are you surprised
by that one?
I didn't think it would be that high. It's almost that they feel like they could just run a woman over in a conversation just because of the perfect reasons that you just brought up. And that's
right.
Almost instilled with them.
Right.
But is it changing with this younger millennium and whatever the next one behind it's called, or is it still yours, mine generation and the generation before us? I could see that. I mean, extremely, especially the generation before us, when it comes to a huge difference between how men treat the women, just because that's
right.
Just the way it was back then. Ours is a little bit better. Is it evening out a little bit more with the generation below us and the one after that, or is it still some of the same issues that we had to deal with, or the ideas that were instilled with us when we were young and how we were told or grown up or what our thought processes
were? Right. Well, I think with the current millennials that are in the workforce now, I think there's greater awareness and sensitivities to, you know, how we interact with each other. But, you know, I think with some of the younger, I think it's why, I think it time will tell. But one of the mm-hmm. interesting things is with the interrupting study from George Washington, it also said that women also interrupt women more frequently than they interrupt their male counterparts. And when you think about that, there's definitely a gender kind of power play dynamic at play there when you think about it. So why would women interrupt more frequently their counterparts versus the same or even more so with men? So it's interesting, and a lot of this comes down to just, we don't really even think about it, right? So I know one of my issues is I'm probably in that category, not necessarily with the women, but I have a tendency to interrupt other people in meetings. And it's not because I feel like I have something more important to share. Sometimes it's just a matter of passion, and you just get really excited and really jazzed about your thought, and you just want to share it with with the group. So going back to what you were talking about with the person that stole your idea, you know, how do you handle that? Sometimes it's just a simple, maybe there was an oversight on the person's part. Maybe there was no ill intent. So with our programs, we always recommend, hey, you really need to confront that person and find out, you know, was there a misunderstanding? Why they felt the need or that it was okay to take your idea and run with it? What is the situation? Because I venture to say sometimes we just overreact. I know I've been in that situation where I do overreact, and then I've just made a small situation. I've made it 10 times worse because of my response to that particular situation.
Well, that's a great point because we're human beings, right? So the first thing right. that we think of is we go right to the negative. Then we even make it bigger in our own heads. So then we all get worked up about it and we're thinking of all these things. We've wasted so much energy on it. And maybe once you dig into it, after you have that confrontation where you're actually talking to the person, it really was either a misunderstanding or they had no idea. I'm saying that it was something like that, it was just an honest mistake. And we're already thinking that guy stole my idea. He wants my job. He's trying to take credit from me. We already go to the worst of the worst, but look at right. all the energy that we wasted getting ourselves worked up when it really was clearly a misunderstanding. So then what right. we're doing is beating ourselves up, you know, punching ourselves in the face when none of that needed to happen, but that's natural. But, that's like our instinct, right? That's not what people do.
Right. But let's flip that and say it's a situation where there was ill intent and that person intentionally, you know, there's no way that you could sugarcoat it or try to put a smiley face on it. You know that it's a situation where there's some dirty deeds done with that particular project. Again, you need to confront that person. And again, sometimes with women, it's very tough for us to deal with confrontation because we just don't like it. And I think that's for many people, but in particular, research shows that it's more common amongst women. So when you confront them, A, you're telling them this isn't okay. And B, you're kind of putting them on notice. Like, I'm not going to allow you to take this type of activity and not have me say something to you and not have me confront you with this situation. Have you had that situation in any of your work dealings, Michelle?
Oh God, over the years, many, many times. This most recent situation, I assumed the worst and it was actually a misunderstanding. But the reason why I brought that point up in the beginning is because I worked myself up about it where I'm like, I can't believe this guy would do it. He's actually supposed to be on my team and blah, blah, blah. And it really was a total misunderstanding. And it turned out to be totally fine where the amount of time I spent getting worked up about it to get the resolution was literally like 2 minutes. Hopefully the situation, and a lot of the times when you think someone does, it doesn't turn out, but in the situations where it does, and it is legitimate, how do you go about confronting that person so you come across as not finger pointing, but you always want to come across, I'm assuming, in a way where you're using facts and you're taking emotion out of it. So then that way you're creating a better scenario and argument for yourself to lay out those facts rather than making a lot of assumptions. So what would you suggest is the best way to do that to make it go in your favor?
Right. Just like anything else, we always say you have to prepare. So if you're giving a speech or you're studying for a test or whatever it is in life, you need to be prepared. So you need to do your homework and you have to, what we recommend is you actually document, you know, the exactly what happened with that particular situation. So have all of your details. Secondly, what we recommend is practice. And sometimes I think we go into these meetings and feel like, okay, I can just wing it. I've got my notes here. But we really encourage our students to take the time and do that, even if it's just in your internally, you're thinking through you know, this is my point one, here's my point two, here's point three. And then also go to the extent of trying to determine if that person gives me this response, how am I going to react? If they give me a different response, what's my response to them going to be? So really kind of strategizing through that conversation. And obviously you want to determine exactly what kind of resolution you're looking for. So all of that takes practice and it takes preparation, but without it, that's a very easy way for a conversation to kind of go off the rails quickly and have a relationship within the workplace really be tainted, which is never a good thing. So we definitely encourage being prepared, practice, and enter that conversation unapologetically. So none of the, well, I was just thinking, or I was hoping. You're going to be strong, you're going to be passionate, and you're going to be prepared.
It's almost like you want to look at it as if you're bringing a case forward as an attorney. So be thorough,
sure,
but take that emotion out of it. And like you just said, hopefully, or any of that, it has to be really methodical, thought through, and use the right language. Because you also want to come across not as overpowering, but you want to come up as strong so that it doesn't happen again. Because what if they think they could just do this often because
exactly.
You've never said anything before, and now you've got a bigger problem to worry about.
Right, exactly. Because you're kind of putting them on notice by confronting the situation, number one, and not just sweeping it underneath the rug and hope it doesn't occur again. And number two, you're standing up for yourself and you're making a statement about your personal brand, you know, and how you work in the workplace. And there was some quote that I just read the other day. Mine wasn't from the Bible, but mine was from, might have been from Oprah, I'm not sure. But it's something like about how you allow people to treat you how they think you should be treated. So the point is if you allow someone to walk over you, they're going to walk over you. But if you stand up and say, hey, I'm not going to, I see what you did and it's not going to happen again. So you're reversing it and you're calling them on it. And the chances of them trying to do that maneuver again is decreased because they realize, hey, this is one of those, this is an individual that I cannot just kind of steamroll over and not be confronted on. I think I even share that lesson with my kids because it's so applicable, whether it's in the workplace or even within your marriage or with your significant other. It makes a huge difference when people know that, you know, I really can't push her around. Like people know with you, Michelle, they can't really push her around.
That is true. And you're the same way.
I think there's
so, yeah,
power in that. Yeah.
Yeah. If there is somebody who does that to you where they're stealing your idea, there's something wrong with that person. You know what I mean? There's an ethical problem. There is personality defects. I mean, that's not normal that you would take to the extent to do something malicious like that. You know, that means that person's not on the same page with you. So it probably has happened before.
I wonder,
and it might happen again.
In a really cutthroat environment in business, people are constantly jockeying for position. Right. And it's okay, I'm going to reach the upper echelons of this organization however I can. And I think you do see some unethical behavior. But again, especially for women, it's in my eyes, it's critical that we start standing up for ourselves. And also it makes a statement for our gender. You know, it's like, okay, it's another woman that's realizing, hey, we're just as equal as the guy next to us. So I think it's a new day. I mean, we keep saying that, but it's a new day for women in business and women in society. Our thought, though, and what we always preach is we know that we have some shortcomings. So instead of just complaining about, oh, we don't make as much money and we don't have the CEO roles in the Fortune 500, which we only have, I think it's under 5% of Fortune 500 organizations are led by female CEOs. And instead of just constantly looking at those stats, we need to figure out ways that we can shore them up. Some of the other interesting statistics that we look at note that it says 50% of professional women struggle with the confidence needed to speak up during high profile meetings. So what does that tell me? That tells me that 50% of us need to work on our self-confidence. There's another one, that stat that's from Bain & Company, which cites that only 13% of professional women feel confident that they can reach top management. And I look at that and A, I feel sad. And then B, it's like, really? You don't think you get to the top? And I think a lot of that, even if you have the skill set, if you don't feel like you belong there, you will never get there, no matter how much awareness is created. So we need to step into some of these roles and really improve our confidence level. And so by standing up to the person, the dude that stole your idea, or standing up to the guy who constantly interrupts you and talks over you in those meetings, we are just stepping into those roles and we're developing those skills that will eventually, we'll start buying into it ourselves. You know, if you think that constantly, hey, I do deserve to be here and I am just as competent as the males in the room. We will be able to start breaking through some of those statistics that frankly just drive me crazy. So
yeah, but you know, it seems like, and this has been going on for years, and you briefly touched on it earlier in the show, and I know that we've discussed it on a previous show we've done, women, you would think that they should be supporting one another, but they always seem to be almost their worst enemy against each other. So like you mentioned, women interrupt other women more than they interrupt men, and they're not supportive of each other. You know, an old boys network, you can call up a guy. He's like, I don't know, I got you covered, whatever. And it's always,
right.
They're always looking out for each other. And women are just the opposite. And you mentioned it earlier that they beat each other up and then they're throwing each other under the bus, but then they're bitching and complaining why they're behind the eight ball when it comes to moving further up when they're not even supporting each other. I mean, it's better than it was,
yeah.
But it's still nowhere where it needs to be. So then, I mean, how do you guys address that in some of the actual trainings that you guys have so that women are now supporting each other as opposed to fighting for the same thing when they should be aligning with one another?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And I think we are seeing some positive gains there. I just read a study a couple weeks ago, and you're going to love this, but it's about top female aides who worked for President Obama. And in politics, it's a heavily male-dominated arena. So the aides that were working for Obama, the females, just felt like we're constantly getting interrupted and I can't get point across. Actually implemented strategy, and they called it amplification. So when a woman made a key point in a meeting, another woman would repeat it and give credit to who developed it in the first place. So if you and I are in a meeting, you make a great comment, I'm going to amplify that and say, you know what, Michelle, that's a great thought that you have on how we can do X, Y, Z. So I'm going to amplify and I'm going to give credit to you and I'm going to extend that, extend the light of that point so that other people can realize what you've said, give that some consideration. And I just thought that was a great strategy. And it's one that, you know, it's a practical one. Even with your female counterparts or your buddies at the office, you can easily implement that. And I think that just helps create some synergies and goodwill amongst the women in a workplace as well. So I love that idea.
Yeah, that's actually pretty proactive and smart.
It's not only an idea that is, you know, along gender lines. Let's say you have a group that the manager of that department happens to be a male. He could do his female employees a great service by implementing something just like that, by acknowledging mm-hmm. Susie's idea, you know, echoing it, amplifying it, and giving credit where credit is due. Because so often, what's the biggest complaint for people in the workplace? They're not feeling valued. They're not engaged, and that's a big area that we're hearing about employee engagement and how it's lacking. And if you can increase your employee engagement, that it does wonders for your bottom line. Well, that's, you know, one huge way that just making people feel valued. And again, it goes across gender lines, but, you know, acknowledging what they have to say and appreciating them coming forth and sharing. And again, to those women who are in those meetings who are not certain, should I share this thought? Is it stupid? Are people going to laugh at it? By having someone support their thoughts goes a long way.
It's almost like we need to reinstill confidence in ourselves and the coworkers, because if for some reason they feel like they can't, or they don't have it at work, but they might have it at home. I mean, you said 50% of professional women don't speak up in the meeting. That's a very high number, 50%.
And the interesting thing, and that's a Harvard Business Review statistic. And the thing that I found interesting about it, it's the professional level women. And actually, we've seen this in our own study, because we did some internal research with women that we worked with. And many of these women went to the Ivy League schools and have these high powered jobs that, you know, and making good money. And you think, well, gosh, after all that, you must have all the confidence in the world. And it's not the case. And it's almost alarming, because I look at it and think, why is that? You know, where's that coming from? Why don't you have the confidence to speak up during those meetings? And they just don't, you know, and these are really accomplished women. So I just find that surprising. But the point being, at the end of the day, is it's a problem, and we need to figure out ways, strategies, proactive things that we can do to address those weaknesses. Because until we do it, again, we'll never have the level of parity that we're hoping to see between the genders.
I do want to go back and ask something specific on the interrupting, so somebody can have a takeaway from this. So let's just say, for example, you're in that meeting, somebody interrupts you, a man interrupts you, male or female, doesn't really matter. Maybe you're going to give some advice as to the way that you react needs to be different for either gender. So what do you do? I mean, it happens at the meeting. Do you say something right then and there? Do you say, because I mean, at that point, people have, they're paying attention, and they, other people notice that should not have happened that way. Say it's a little bit kind of abrasive or abrupt. I mean, what do you do at that point?
Well, here, I'm going to give you four takeaways or recommendations on how to handle. First one is just managing your assumptions. And again, I think I had noted that sometimes I'm just so excited to share something that I interrupt. And it's not coming from a place of ill intent. It just happens. So you have to go into it saying, okay, this is going to happen. But when it continually happens, then you need to have a strategy. And one of them is what we teach is get ahead of the problem. So if you know that, oh, I'm in a meeting with this guy, John, and John constantly interrupts me. And I have a John in my life. he constantly interrupts me. What I'm going to do is say, hey, okay, there's three things that I want to share. So just bear with me while I go through those three things. And then after I've concluded with those three topics, then I'd be happy to hear your reaction. So you're just saying, hey, don't interrupt me. Don't even think about interrupting until I get through my three points. So you're getting ahead of the problem and you're being proactive. Another strategy is just to hold your ground. So let's say you're talking and again, this time it's Bob. Bob interrupts you. You just have to call him out on it and say, Bob, please just let me finish. You know, I know that you have some thoughts that you might want to share, but please let me finish. And then we can hold our, we can debate. But I'd like to just be able to go through what I'd like to share on an interrupted basis. And then lastly, is, as we mentioned earlier, is just to enlist those amplifiers. So grab a buddy and have them support you as you're going through or making points, because that's going to make a big difference as well. So those are ones that, again, really easy to implement. They're practical. And when I say easy, maybe I should take that back, because while it seems easy, sometimes it's tough for us to say, hey, I'm going to claim this spot. This is mine. And you're not going to interrupt me. That is, for some people, that puts them in an uncomfortable situation. But again, just like everything else in life, you do that and you get better at it, and it just becomes second nature. So it doesn't bother you to say, John, you know, don't talk while I'm talking. Let me finish making this point. It just becomes a part of how you operate. And you got to think that if you're able to look someone and claim that territory as yours, it's going to make a big difference on how they see you and how they perceive who you are as a professional, whether it's you're male or female. So being able to take ownership for that makes a huge difference. It really, really does.
And it could change the whole dynamic of not only the meeting, but the entire work situation moving forward, where now they're like,
undoubtedly.
Oh, I didn't know she had it in
undoubtedly.
Her.
Yeah.
I'm not going down that road ever again. And that actually
right.
might spawn off a whole nother way for you to be more engaged at work or be considered for a promotion or for another roles of responsibilities, because you've been feeling that way. You never projected that, or it didn't come across as it. That was your personality, even though that's what your personality is, you know, and it's that way at home, it's outside the office, it could change everything. It's kind of like, I'll give you a good example. Remember in the movie Back to the Future? And the dad, Michael J. Fox's dad, he was always kind of a wimp and he got pushed around and, you know, their life was mediocre and all that kind of stuff. Well, then when Michael J. Fox went back, and the father then ended up punching Biff, the bully that bullied him. Next thing you know, his whole life changed. He's now an author. They're very affluent. And then the kids' lives changed, all because the way that he was being, his confidence level changed, his personality, you know, kind of came out, and the way that he was perceived by everybody else was totally the opposite. And look how much
right.
his whole life and future changed. Not
right.
saying your work world can be that extreme, but great things can happen once you do have that level of confidence and respect from your coworkers also.
Yeah, that's really what our business is built on, is helping women claim their power, you know, because we've just seen, we've seen it firsthand. We've read the studies and the statistics that once we're able to claim our power, your whole world can change. And you know, like you said, it changes how you're perceived in the workplace, how you feel about yourself in the workplace. It changes how you're perceived outside of the workplace. So that, I think, is one of the greatest gifts. And that, for me, I got that self-confidence from my mom. And it's just one of the greatest gifts that I've ever received. And that's kind of why I've made it my mission to help other women. It's like, okay, let's see how we can get you to claim your power. Makes all the difference in the world.
And it doesn't take much to get started, and you don't have to do huge, you know, they're not moving mountains to actually have small little improvements. And it's something that can happen quickly with somebody in regards to having that all happen, right? You don't, it
right.
doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to go through classes and seminars, you know, 10 or 15 of them to it. It could be something simple that is advice that you have in one of your LinkedIn posts where that's
sure.
just enough to get it started. It's very simple.
Or even just what we've talked about today, Michelle. I mean, some of those tactics. And again, we know that women, or like we said, men, are interrupted in meetings. So start with one of those really practical strategies, and then just continue to build on it. It will make a huge, significant difference.
Yeah, and be prepared. Like you mentioned, a lot of this has to do with being prepared and practice it. You know, let's just say, for example, someone hasn't interrupted you yet, but in the meetings, or maybe that's why most women don't want to speak out during a meeting because they're worried that they are going to get interrupted. Well, because so-and-so usually interrupt the other people that do engage. Well, if you know that's going to happen, have your comeback for when someone does interrupt you, so then you don't feel threatened in order to actually engage and participate in the conversation of work. But you just gave some great
right.
points on how to structure that, how to prevent it by opening your statement. And then if it does happen, you'll have your comeback line, basically. So then that way
right.
you now have the ability to share more so in a meeting because you're prepared in case that something does happen. So you know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's a huge difference for some people.
Exactly. No,
yeah.
I totally, totally agree with you.
And I appreciate the fact that you've evolved the company that you have, Elevate for Her, to the point where you're really trying to empower women and you're giving them the tools and the information so that they can do something to avoid problems and also be prepared. And then also make sure that they're living a better life and a better work environment because you don't have to go through
yeah.
all these struggles. It's unnecessary. And like I mentioned earlier when my example, where I just automatically assumed that the person had taken the information and it was not the case at all. And I worked myself up all over it. And it's
right.
all that wasted time and energy when it didn't need to happen. So I think it's great that you've really taken your business and evolved it into this, which is such a necessary thing for women nowadays. And, you know, you're very passionate about it. And you can hear that when you talk. So bravo, my fellow woman.
Well, can I share one other thing that I'm hoping you could put in your show notes?
Oh, please, please do.
Yeah, we have a what we call our 10-day empowerment plan. And in that empowerment plan, it has information on how to develop a personal mantra. And it also puts you through a 10-day challenge where you identify on a daily basis to do one thing that scares you. And that's a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, who's one of my all-time favorite role models. But what her suggestion was is to do one thing that scares you each day. And so there's a challenge with that. And it could be something like, okay, I've always wanted to take an improv class, but I thought I would, you know, not be funny or look stupid. And so maybe that's one of the things, your challenges. Doesn't always have to be work related. And you just start cultivating a mindset of, okay, it's okay for me to go out there. It's okay for me to get out of my box and expose myself somewhat and see how you can grow and expand and so forth. And then the last thing we have in there are inspiration. So we've got inspiration from Eleanor and Oprah and Michelle and just a handful of other really powerful women. And I'd like to offer that to your listeners on a no charge basis. If we could get that out to them, I think that would be great.
Oh, definitely. What we can do is if you're okay with it, we'll put it on the website as a link. They could download it. So however you want to implement that, whatever works best for you is we'll promote it and we'll mention it obviously in the social media. So that way people can have access to it. So that would be really amazing. And I think it'd be very helpful to go along with the content for the show so that people can really, or especially men too, but women, they can go ahead and start taking charge and make these changes and give them, you know, a lot of times people need a plan. They need a push and a plan. So now you gave them the plan.
Right.
They listened to the right. show and we gave them a little push. So now it's up to them yeah. to take ownership of their own life and their own changes. But so we've eliminated the excuses. The only thing at that point that they could say is they don't have time, but then there is 24 hours in a day. So then maybe they need to make some time. But other than that, you know, you've given them the materials and the oomph. So now it's time to yeah. fly, little bird, out of the nest. It's time to fly away and go make your own way in the world. You know, that's yeah. your job. You gave them the tools and the inspiration. Now it's time to pick up where you left off and see what they can do. So I appreciate
yeah,
you
no,
offering that. However you want to implement it, we'll figure that out, whatever's the easiest way. And we will definitely have it on the website and all the posts. Oh,
great.
So
okay.
Ms. Rhonda, you are definitely one of my favorite guests, and I love having you on the show. We need to do it a little bit more often, and I think that we'll start maybe doing that in the next month or so. Maybe we can start doing some even little short segments that we can come on and even talk about some other stuff in addition to the exciting things that are going on with Elevate for Her.
Yeah, I'd love to, and obviously you're one of my favorite podcasters. I always
there
enjoy talking, and I love the jokes. I love the jokes. So.
Yeah, the one you didn't laugh at. All right, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, I might want to, I'll cut and paste the laughter right now and put it into the beginning of the show.
Please do.
Well, thank you again for coming on. We're definitely going to make this more of a frequent occurrence just because we do enjoy each other's company on the show. And hopefully not only did somebody get some information, some takeaways, I hope they were a little entertained. I know that you and I try to make it a little bit more entertaining than most shows. So I appreciate your engagement, and your statistics are just always phenomenal.
Well, thank you. Thank you again. And I appreciate the opportunity to come on and share my thoughts and what we're doing with Elevate for Her. So appreciate it, Michelle.
Oh, you're very welcome. And until next time with Rhonda, which will be back very soon. Very, very soon.
Promos for a purpose.com.
Did you know 63% of consumers prefer to buy from purpose-driven brands and businesses that reflect their own values, beliefs, and support charitable causes? Promos for a Purpose provides business owners with ways to support worthy causes and promote their brands at the same time with its comprehensive done-for-you marketing and media program. Visit www.promosforapurpose.com for more information.
Promos for a Purpose.com.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick. Life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness. To meet, learn from, and hire the experts and the guests, professionals, and members of the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network and Marketplace, visit everythinghometalkshow.com/episodes. And to listen, subscribe, rate, review, like, follow, comment, and share, go to www.everythinghometalkshow.com and find us on all the major listening platforms. Thanks for listening. We hope you were entertained, and we hope that you picked up some real-life, tangible takeaways from some good people doing good business and good things. Till next time, this is Everything Home, signing off.